Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hi you guys. Welcome to the Global Vision for Living Today show. I'm Marcia, and as you know, we have been on this terrific topic. Who is God and what is his name? Where did he come from? And if he came from anywhere, and we know he did, then why? Thank you so much for tuning in. We have with us again the illustrious Colonel Dr. William Harrison. I like to call him Colonel. Hi, Colonel Harrison. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Dr. Capitina, listening audience. Doing great, doing great. All is well. Pray all is well with each and every one of you.
Well, I sure hope so, and I pray so also, because the world is a changing place. Every day you wake up, you hear something that seems to be a little bit more offset or terrible than it was the day before. But we know that those who put their hope in the living God shall never fail. And we also know that those that put their trust in him will get help in an ever-present moment. Thank you so much again, Colonel Harrison, for tuning in. So many people are asking, Dr. Capitino, where did you get that name? Where did you get Capitino? Did you marry a Capitino? Was that your mother's maiden name, grandma's maiden name? It's part of my grandmother's maiden name. My grandmother was full-blood Sioux Choctaw Indian. And I guess somehow, maybe someone from Europe, you know, had that name. You know, I'm not sure, but thank you so much for being concerned. Today, who is God and what is his name? You have been with us for quite a while, most of you. I recognize the phone numbers, but as you know, we are on a series of 21 ways to get to know God, because we keep talking about him. We keep sharing information about him as we know it and as we understand it. But, hey, how are you going to worship a God you don't know anything about? I didn't say what you heard. No knowledge, no, that people may know that thou art. Psalm 83:18, God starts off with that in the King James Version. How are you going to follow a God that you just, oh, well, you know, yeah, I heard that, yeah, you know. Last week I heard it, but what are you doing with what you hear? So upcoming topics are also going to cover what is God like. Now we're talking about this morning, who is he and what is his name? Like, we're on part four this Saturday today, but what is God like? Many have also, and I'm reading here on the dashboard, what does the future hold for me? Myself, a lot of others are asking the same question. We're getting up, we're eating, we're drinking, you know, we're making merriment. But, hey, that's for today. What about tomorrow? What about next week, next year? What does the future hold for me? That's going to be a topic. Is this all there is? Oh, I was shocked. I was shocked because I was with a former group, religious organization. And that was their key conversation. Everyone wanted to know, is this all there is? You know, I'm eating, I'm drinking. Well, what's next? Next is, why so much suffering in the world? Then I'm reading, I'm looking at this. What is my purpose? But this has come to me from the Herbert W. Armstrong Organization, Mystery of the Ages. But what is my purpose? Why was I born? So you guys keep on tuning in and get some of this information. But I will be posting this on the dashboard for those that are interested. But these are some topics. Oh, my God. These are some topics that I'm sure people will continue to click. But who is God? Let's get back to this. This is part four. Colonel Harrison has been on for three of these parts, and I think he's gone over this. We're going to go over it again, because some act like, talk like, think like, sending me messages like you don't know who God is. What can we say? We weren't alive when he was born or when he formed himself and this universe, put earth in the universe. People say, oh, is this it here? No, earth is part of a planetary system that helps govern the universe in its vast blackness. But who is God? Colonel Harrison, let's jump on that before we go any further. Who is God? What does the Bible say? about this God?
The Bible says, Dr. Capitina, that God is an infinite, holy, supernatural being who is the creator of heaven and earth, and that he is all-knowing, all-wise, all-encompassing, and he created mankind to and for his pleasure. So God is the God Jehovah that you said in Psalm 83:18, that men may know that thou, whose name is Jehovah, is the most high over all the earth. He's the Alpha and the Omega. God is the creator of the universe. Yes.
Create all. That was what I was going to say, because you said God created the heaven and the earth. But here, let's just back this chain up. He is the creator, fomenter of the entire universe. As I said a few moments ago, the earth is just a planet and a planetary system of other planets that have names of Jupiter, Venus, and I could go on and on and on, but you guys have already learned this, and I believe junior high school, you start talking about what's out there in the orbit. Sun, every planet is orbiting, circling the sun. So right now, we can say that this is an all-powerful God. He got to be powerful if he created the universe. And then he said, oh, you know what? Come on. We have Earth here. We have all these other planets. But we're going to take Earth, and we're going to create man on it. So we've already covered that. What is his name? You mentioned earlier on the show that his name is Jehovah. He said that. He said that, that people may know that I. So here's a God that's omnipresent, you know, always present, that is this great creative being, spiritual being, that says, that's my name. So no one can say, oh, well, you know what, you know, I just had this baby or whatever, and I'm going to name him so-and-so. Jehovah stepped up to the plate big time, and he named himself that. Now, someone asked me, well, what does that name mean? I don't know if any of you are near a computer. But we're not going to really get into that right now. Google that name, and you will find out a little bit more about it. But that is his name, Jehovah, J-E. J-E means something. Look it up. But now, well, where did he come from? We've already mentioned that. He came from wherever he came from, according to Scripture. It doesn't give us any inkling of where did this God come from. It just says he's always been here. He's a ever-present being, spiritual being, because we can't see him. Now, we carry some of that spirit in us, because at the time we pass, that spirit returns back to him. So, oh, my God, that's heavy. So we know he's a spiritual being. You can't con a spirit. You can't run no game on no spirit. You can't stand up and tell a spirit what to do. And the scripture says at 70 or 80 at best, that's who we are. But now, since we don't know where this God came from, Colonel Harrison, is there a reason why? And I see the hands. Is there a reason why we don't know where Jehovah came from?
The only reason I can think of, Doc, the Bible doesn't give us a reason, but the only reason I can think of studying the Bible many, many, many years, 30-plus years, is that God doesn't want us to know, and it's not important where God comes from. It's important to us as to who he is, that he is the creator, as you said earlier, Doc. He's created heaven and earth and all that dwells therein, mankind, animals, and so forth and so on. He's a supernatural, infinite, intelligent being that has knowledge and wisdom, and there's no other than God. God was before time. God is in time, and God is after time. God is eternal, and God is everlasting.
Well, let's jump to this question, since you have made that very plain. What is it going to take for flesh and blood to sit down with themselves and say, oh, I just heard that this God called Jehovah. Who calls himself Jehovah? They're not calling him that, but he said, my name, I. What is it going to take for flesh and blood to even believe a tale like that? And I'm not calling it like a fairy tale, But to even believe something like that, how can we, well, I won't say how can we, but what will it take? It starts with the F, and we said we were going to cover that this week. What is it going to take for humans to sit down with themselves and say, you know what, I heard this, I heard that, something in me resonated, but I don't think that I can go there. What is it going to take for people to trust and believe and want to honor and worship and bow down to a God that calls himself Jehovah? Because we're told to do that through scripture. But what is it going to take?
It's going to take faith.
It's right. What is faith?
Faith is belief and trust in God. Faith is belief and trust in God. We have to believe there is a God, know beyond absolute doubt in our mind and our heart that God is the creator of heaven and earth, all that dwells therein. And then we go to Genesis chapter 1 and 2 of the Holy Bible, and it gives us definitively what God has created and so forth and so on. Faith is belief and trust in God. Faith is not tangible, it's invisible, but it's something that we believe. We believe in one another. We believe in our children, those who have children, those who are married, husband, wife. We believe in our coworkers. We believe in our close friends. Why can't we believe in that fact that there's a God who is a creator that created everything that we see and we enjoy and the things that we don't see?
Very true, but we're talking about faith now. We have over 300 different religions alone just in the United States of America, not to mention all these other foreign gods. They're worshiping gods over in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, African gods, Indian gods, Hindu gods. So I want to really zero in on this because the scriptures say faith is not the possession of all people. But what we're trying to do here is people might be here, and I said, thank you, I see the hands up. Someone wants this thing called faith broken down. Because just to say, oh, well, faith is a belief in God. There's many gods. So now we got to break it down because people need to know once they realize who God is through the scripture, not, oh, yeah, well, I this, I that. And what is his name? Sure, he's already said that. But it takes faith. We need to break down what faith is. And I'm on the computer, so I can't get off and start Googling and all that like I usually do. But the Bible, picking it real quickly, I have my feet soapy, so I can't run and get mine. Excuse me, you guys. So we need the definition of faith according to the scripture. I believe it's in Hebrews or one of the New Testament chapters. So what is faith? Let's not add anything or take anything. Get the Bible and look that scripture very fast. You're a pastor, so I know you probably have it on the tip of your tongue. Let's have the Bible's definition of faith. We're talking about faith. Let's get the Bible and have that read. Colonel Harrison, can you read that?
Yes. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 in the Holy Bible. It reads, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'll read it one more time. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Wow, that is heavy. Evidence of things not seen. Now, I guess that's why a lot of these gurus that talk about prosperity is saying all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is believe. If God spoke, not if, but since God spoke the world, the universe into creation, then we have the ability to, because we got that speck of spirit within to say, mountain, move aside, and it shall be done. Sea, part, and it shall be done. We have the example of Moses when the Red Sea parted, and then we had the fire by night, cloud by day. We don't have to sit up here and transverse through the scripture because we only have so much time. But faith is the evidence of things not seen. So now, since that is the case, we know people are not born with that faith. That faith has to be developed, and it will only come through what is heard. And if we're talking about God, what is heard about God. It is impossible to please him. That's the scripture there. I want you guys to really listen to that. It is impossible to please him. You know, I was walking the streets, knocking on doors. You know, they came all haughty. Oh, I know God. I know that. I know that. And you see all these idols in the home, and you almost didn't want to sit in there. But basically, when you start talking about faith, you're not born with it. You don't wake up with it. And it is not the possession of all. Those that really expect God to shower them with a supernatural ability to believe in him, which is faith in action, there's something that they must do. Faith is not a possession of all people. So what kind of people is God expecting to put faith in him? Answer that for us, Colonel Harrison. I know you're a minister preaching every week.
God is expecting people to have faith in him.
I beg your pardon?
We believe it.
Hello, hello.
We have
I can't hear
confidence in. We have trust in. Bible says, without faith, as you said a few minutes ago, God, it's God. So we have to have a belief in the fact that there is God, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it comes by the preach word, hearing the preach word of God from the Holy Bibles. It comes from the teach word from the Holy Bibles. So just having confidence and trust in that which you trust in does exist, whether it's visible or invisible. And God is an invisible being, supernatural being. There's that kind of trust and confidence in the fact there is a God, there's a creator of the universe.
Good example. But let's back it up again. A person might say, you know what, I've heard about God, and I understand that, you know, this account of the story about him creating the universe, and we're going to stay on this point and all of the mighty deeds that he's done. But for some reason, I can't seem to wrap my head around that enough to put my belief in something like that. I haven't seen it. I didn't see him do it. I don't even know what he looked like. I don't see him walking down the street. My grandma used to talk about, oh, put faith in God, put faith in God. But she never explained, how do you do that? How do you do that? I don't think the world would be in the shape it is now if people in charge of God's word could have actually put a little bit more of a coating on a God who you can't see, you can't feel, you can't hear him talk. Oh, my God. This thing called faithation of having things that we can't see. So how would a person, let me ask this again now, because we got to get it clear. My daddy used to say, you know, the young ministers would be up there and they'd be sweating up there at that pulpit. And my father would just be sitting up there, man of stone. And then finally he said, make it plain. So I'm thinking we want to do that here. This thing called faith. How can we get that? You can't go by faith. You can't con God to help you create in you the spirit that is governed by faith to say, oh, yeah, I know God is real. I know God will. I know God can. I used to sing a song talking about God. God can. Oh, my God. Jesus will work it out if you let him. Oh, my, if you let him. You need faith to sit back and say, well, the house is on fire, so I guess Jesus is going to come in here and drag me out. That's ludicrous. So we really want to get on this faith bit because it takes faith to even talk about a God. What are you talking about it for? You don't believe in him. Well, what will help a person believe in God? We're talking about faith. It's not the possession of all people, and we see that if we look out of our window, and I like using that phrase, but if someone walked up and said, what is faith? I hear what you're saying. Something is touching me in my tummy, and I'm tired of the lifestyle that I'm living. You know, I'm doing this and doing that. I'm not getting anywhere. That's anybody from high scholarly individuals to the man sleeping on the sidewalk. I want to do better. It takes faith to get off that sidewalk. It takes faith to get up every day, leaving off for your job, knowing it's going to be there when you get there. I know you say, oh, I'm on the way to the church and so on and so on. It takes faith to get up and say that and thinking or knowing that you're actually going to make your destination. So once again, what is faith and how does a person get faith? Because if we can't define that, we're wasting our time, because the 21 ways against the knowing, oh God, Lord, Jesus, it takes faith to know him. Not a bunch of hocus pocus. I'm sick of that. You guys are sick of that. Colonel, again, to believe that there is a God, what is that and what will it take to get the faith that is needed to believe in him, care what his name is?
Faith is invisible. Faith is not tangible. Faith is a belief or trust. Faith exists in the spirit realm, but we believe in the physical realm. God lives in the physical realm called heaven. I'm sorry, in the spiritual realm called heaven.
Yes,
we live in the physical realm called earth. So faith is belief and trust. And it says it's the substance of things hoped for. So we have to hope and desire for a certain thing to happen or a certain thing that we need to happen in our lives, whether I'm sick and I need to be healed, or whether I need some resources to take care of some bills or whatever it is. I have to have faith and belief that God, the creator, will provide a means for me to get the resources I need here in the physical realm. So faith, we can't see it. It's like the air that we breathe. We can't see it, but it exists. Faith is likened unto the air. We can't see it, but it exists. And it's attached and associated with God. So we have to believe and trust in the fact that there is God. And the more that we believe and trust in the fact there is God, then the things that we pray for that we need, then God, believing that we need to receive them, God will manifest or make those things available to us. So faith, again, is belief and trust in knowing there's a God, and we hope for certain things through faith. That's our means of connecting with God other than prayer, is having faith and belief in God. Faith comes from hearing the preach word or the teach word of God that's in the Holy Bible.
Well, I think faith is going to really be put on trial, because there's places where you really can't actually go to hear the preach word. And there's ministers themselves. I was reading that a lot of ministers are committing suicide because, you know, they're saying, you know, I've been preaching this, that, and the other, and the world has gotten no better. I've been standing up every week. World ain't got no better. I've been standing telling people this, telling people that, telling people, yeah, yeah, yeah. And when I get up, I'm in terror because, you know, I'm hearing all of this 2 hours a week at the best, and then I've got to suffer, almost bleed and die in the world 6 days a week, 6.5 days a week. I said, oh, my God, I don't know what I'm going to actually do. So I appreciate, and I know the those listening appreciate also the fact that faith is trust in God. I'm not going to say a belief in God, because so many factors have got to happen before anybody believe in God. If they don't believe in themselves, how are they going to believe in God? So I'm going to say that Colonel Harrison is right on it by saying faith is a trust. And when you trust someone, there's something about that name, something about that person, something about the person's behavior and attitude that will get you to say, I trust, or I'm going to honor what I see in that person, because if I don't really know him, how can I believe in him? So I think trust is really the way to look at this. I trust God. I don't know that much about him. You know, I know what I hear. I see what's going on. But now here's another drawback. Those that don't read the Bible, never have, maybe heard a little bit about it. They don't know the prophecy of Ezekiel, Daniel, and Isaiah, Jeremiah, ooh, I love that name, Jeremiah, oh, mighty man, J-E, okay, they don't know about that, Habakkuk, Obadiah, I mean, oh my God, those that don't have that knowledge and that ability to draw back on that knowledge, how are you going to trust him? Because if you wait 2 hours a week, oh, my God, I think that's what's going on in the world. Now, you wait 2 hours a week to hear anything, you might be blown to smithereens Monday through Saturday. Now, let's hunch back on this faith. You got billions now living. And I remember I put out a bulletin on a Sunday. In fact, I'm going to write it. I'm going to put it out again tomorrow. It's called Millions Now Living Shall Never Die. In the history of our business, we never got that many clicks, over 90%. So that meant thousands that we have. They tuned in for that, but it's interesting. It was by a group called Jehovah's Witnesses, and it never before have we got this. So people are interested. What are you talking about? Millions now living should never die. Well, of course, anybody living should be interested in that. But in it, which was that whole series, I think, I forgot who it was. It was one of the elders out of New York. It was a one-hour talk, and people tuned in from all over the world. And that came out in the 80s. But, you know, I said, well, we're going to give it a chance. People are interested in that and what we've already said. But all the topics that we just mentioned starting off, along with our series, 21 Ways to Get to Know God, it's all borderline on faith. And you guys heard Colonel Harrison talk about faith is no more than trust in invisible God. Oh, well, I trust him. You know, I've seen the moon, the stars, the mountains, the water, beast underneath the waters, and so forth and so on and so on. That kind of even talk, a person would really have to say, oh, you know, I never heard that, but should I believe it? Look out the window and you can. But our 21 Ways to Get to Know God series, we've already covered 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, the fifth one, obey God's word. How you going to obey it and you don't know anything about it? This is why we not only talk about this God, but we also give you some scripture reference, because I don't know. I'm only X amount of years old. I'm not thousands or millions of years old like the creator. So that takes a lot of faith to obey God's word. Someone is saying, well, who is God's? Who wrote God's word? Hey, you guys, we're going to get around to all of that. But to obey God's word, it takes faith to even do that, and we've covered that. But number five this week, one of the ways to get to know him is to obey it. Obey him. Last week, read and study God's word. So how are you going to obey him if you don't know what's in it? If we get a snippet here and there and there and there. But to actually get on a systemic path of learning who this God is, here, 21 ways. We have covered. We're covering 21 ways, and I'm not going to say where I got this 21 ways because, you know, when you're going door to door, these people, they're here today, going tomorrow, moved with grandma, moved to Texas, and so you lose an actual scholastical grip thinking that that's going to happen. But, you know, a Bible study. I know Colonel Harrison has those. And most of the Bible studies that I've known of are free. People love them. You get to see the same face every week. You get to bring food or eat food there. Oh, next week I'm going to bring you this. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm going to bring this dress. I'm going to show. Oh, please, too. That is hope, too, right there. But if you're interested, you guys, in really getting to know God, but here's the problem. When you get to know him, you got to obey him, and you got to get out and do what he says. You can't twist that around. Colonel Harrison, will you wrap us up this morning? We understood what God's name is. We understood where did he come from. We don't know. We understood who is he, supreme God over all the universe. Once in closing, tell us again, why should we be interested in this God?
We should be interested in God because he is the creator of heaven and earth, and everything that dwells therein, everything that exists, known and unknown, God has created. And he created man just a little lower than angels in heaven. And man is his greatest earthly mankind is his greatest earthly creation with free will and the right to choose and decide and to love God. So God, the creator, loves us, and we should also love him. He does exist. He is real.
Wow. How to show God we love him. Tune in next week for that. Write it down. Don't try to get to me through the week to ask me anything. I just said that, okay? So write that title down because we certainly are interested in. Thank you, Colonel Harrison. God bless you all. We'll be back next week, God willing. See you next week on the Global Vision for Living Today show. Have a great weekend.